proof last week on Easter Sunday that the resurrection is what? It is simply the fulfillment of the Jews' idea of who God was, the very idea that we find repeated in this psalm, the psalm. God's love is everlasting, chesed. God's love is steadfast and eternal. And so the resurrection is simply God's response to this man Jesus, who was utterly faithful. And God, being utterly faithful, raised Jesus from the dead. So what we're talking about here, and this is really important in this passage from John, which is, by the way, the end of the official end of the Gospel of John. You'll notice the lines are clearly conclusive, that you may believe and have life in his name. And then somebody else comes up later and sticks on the 21st chapter with this Peter business about feed my lamb, feed my sheep. But that's for another day. So this whole passage was created by whoever wrote this thing with this tagline, blessed are those who see and blessed are those who believe and have not seen. That's the whole point. But then we have to be really careful. Blessed, believe what? Believe we got this corpse up and about, you know, with holes in his hands and his side. No, my God in heaven. That's trivial. Believing what? That God loves faithfully. And despite appearances, God's love will triumph. I mean, this is the whole business of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. What's the temptation? To disbelieve in the love of God. And anybody who's aware of what's going on in the world, not just of Jesus' time with the barbarity of the Roman Empire, but today with our own current barbarities, ask Mr. Assad, that despite all this stuff, God is faithfully loving. Full stop. That's the essence of the resurrection. It is the perdurance of God's love despite everything. We see this in Paul again. Who will separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ? Things present, things to come, life, death, powers, principalities, nothing. Paul believed. So we have to keep this in mind because we literalize this scene, you know, from John's Gospel with Thomas. That's not the point. That's not the point. And I propose it to you. It is as difficult for us today as it was for Thomas to believe, given our world, that God's love is everlasting. And that's why John will talk about the triumph of faith. Faith that overcomes the world. Overcomes the world meaning what? Meaning that holding on to this belief, despite all appearances, that God is faithful. That love will have the last word. Love will have the last word. Not the rules. Not all the ceremonies. Not the poo-ahs. But love. And we see this played out in volume 2 of Luke's work, which is the Acts of the Apostles. The best scholarly judgment today is that Luke organized these two volumes in terms of promise and fulfillment. So the gospel is supposed to be the fulfillment of the Jews' destiny in this man Jesus, who opened up God's mercy to everybody, and then the consequences of that, which is this extraordinary statement that everybody sold everything they had and shared everything. That's love in action. And that's what Luke wants to say here. And here too we have enormous problems, it seems to me. Because by and large I think I, and probably most people, identify themselves in terms of what they own. Yeah? I end at the border of my sphere of possession. And everybody stands outside that. And standing within that sphere of possession, you'll find me. No, what Luke is saying, no, the only real me is the one who is precisely connected to everybody else. That's the only real me. That's the only real me. And that's the triumph over the world, because in the Johannine usage, the world just means everything that resists God. And what resists God is precisely all this tribalistic propensity that we have. In the church, too. This is especially onerous in the church, because the church is supposed to be the counter witness to that idea of who we are. Huh? And this notion of a smaller, purer church is to me incredible. That's not what it's supposed to be. Rather, it's supposed to be this readiness to be open to everybody, and this struggle, intense and daily, not to be persuaded that greed, venality, self-seeking, self-protection, fear of the other, that all those things curtail who I am, distort who I am. So we go back to my proposal at the beginning of Lent. Where is the gap between who I am and who I'm called to be in Christ? You know, it's huge, at least in my case, it's huge. But to know that that's the pivotal issue here, you know. I think it's very hard that we've got Rick Santorum screaming about gay marriage and contraception and abortion and all this pelvic stuff, as if that's the centerpiece of religiosity, the Christianity. It's not. It's just not. Simply, it is not. And that's why the way the church is running today gives me great pause, because it sounds like Santorum is on the side of the angels and the rest of us are all buggered up. That's not the case. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Believe what? That God is faithful. That God's love is steadfast, everlasting.